I invite you to take a deep breath and center yourselves and hear this prayer that comes from Connect Us. Lamb of God, we worship you and we proclaim the power in your name. We thank you and we glorify you as we acknowledge your reign on this special day of Palm Sunday. Blessed is he who comes in the name of God. You are the Prince of Peace. We adore you. Your love has set us free. We bow down before you as we gather to mark Palm Sunday, your triumphant entry into Jerusalem. We wave and lay down our palm branches as we declare you the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. On this day, you set us on a journey of love. It was the journey that you took to set us free from curses and make us acceptable before God. It was a journey to make us the children of God. We thank you. Amen. Our scripture today is from the Gospel of John, chapter 12, verses 12 through 19. This is his account of Palm Sunday. The next day, the great crowd that had come to the festival heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to him shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it. As it is written, "Do not be afraid, daughter of Zion. Look, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written of him and had been done to him. So the crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to testify. It was also because they heard that he had performed this sign that the crowd went to meet him. The Pharisees then said to one another, "You see, you can do nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Today we're transitioning now, kind of, from Palm Sunday to Passion Sunday. We can call this day both of those things, and this is kind of that pivot moment when we celebrate Jesus coming to Jerusalem, and we also anticipate Holy Week. And so as part of that, we're continuing our sermon series where real life meets real love. And so this week, we're talking about moving from inauthenticity to authenticity. That's what we're going to be talking about. So you might wonder, what does that have to do with Palm Sunday? It does, but we'll get there later. So first, I just want to ask you, are you ever inauthentic? Are there times when you are ever inauthentic? I want you to think of a number between 1 and 10. 1 is, I'm as real can get, baby. And 10 is, I am fake. So what's your number between 1 and 10? So just put that number in your head. I'm not going to ask you what your number is because the fake people would lie about it anyway. But it occurs to me that there are different ways people can be inauthentic. So I thought about this a lot this week, and I came up with 5 different ways, and I gave them names. 5 different ways people can be inauthentic. And there's probably more, but I'm going to talk about each 5 of these ways. And when I talk about each one, I want you to think, how much am I ever like this? Am I ever like this one? All right? So here's 5 ways people can be inauthentic. The first one is autopilot. And the autopilot is somebody who doesn't even think about being authentic. They don't do any introspection. They don't try to figure out who they are. They just go with the flow. They're just on autopilot. The world brings things to them, and they just react, and they don't worry about it. They are shallow. All right, so is that you, shallow people? You don't have to raise your hands. Number two is the monolith. And the monolith is somebody who acts like they're invulnerable. They don't need anybody else. They are totally self-sufficient. They are perhaps selfish. They're only worried about themselves, and they are totally disconnected from the emotional, fragile parts of themselves. So they may be kidding the world and themselves that they are a rock, an island, a monolith. All right, here's the third one, the jester. And the jester presents themselves as if they are putting on a show. So the jester might be the person that's always happy in the office. Oh, it's so good to see you. And you can kind of tell they're being fake, but they always have a smile, or they're always trying to be the center of attention, that kind of thing. And they're masking any interior stuff that's going on. They're refusing to be vulnerable and share who they really are. So that's the jester. Here's the fourth one, the imposter. And the imposter is somebody who takes on the role that the world tells them they should take on. So the world says, you're the life of the party. So even when you don't feel like you're the life of the party, you still act like you're the life of the party because that's what is expected of you. Or you're the coach. You always have it figured out and you're in charge. And so you take on the role of the coach, and you're really being an imposter because that's what the world puts pressure on you to be. And here's the fifth one. This is a faith one, and it's to be a Pharisee. Really, a better word for it would be a hypocrite. It's where what is happening inside with your faith does not match what's happening outside. And that could be a couple different ways. One, it could be you have a strong faith, but you're being a hypocrite because you're not willing to share that with other people. Or it could be that you have some real questions about your faith, but you project yourself as super Christian, even though that's not where you are. Okay, I just dumped a whole bunch of stuff in your lap, but I want you to think about that. What are those? When are you like some of those? What are you most drawn to in being when you're inauthentic? For me, I have a ton of jester energy. When I'm with people, I put on a smiling face. And even if I'm having a crummy day, I don't show it. Actually, most pastors are jesters. I want you to actually turn to people around you and just share. How are you like some of these sometimes? You don't have to bare your deepest soul to anybody, but just how do you respond to these? Take a moment and just turn to people and talk. Maybe you saw yourself in some of those, maybe not. Did anybody come up with a way of inauthenticity that I didn't cover?
I got one.
Yeah. That is great, parenting. Did y'all hear that? When you have to stay calm and be in charge of everything, even when you don't feel like it. That's one I've never been, so that's a good one. Anybody else? All right, well, you can think about those. These five, I'm just gonna say, as you think about these five, think about them each as temptations. You can be tempted in these five or maybe other ways to not be your authentic self. And there's five of them here, and actually there were five temptations, the singing group, so that matches really well. The thing is that we can be tempted by temptations, but when we face them, when we actually confront these temptations and these ways of being inauthentic, actually that helps us become more authentic. And so that's something we should probably do. It is, in fact, something Jesus did. Jesus had to deal with temptations, and I would contend he had to deal with some of these. The season of Lent, which began back on Ash Wednesday, Typically, that first Sunday, folks will preach about Jesus being tempted. We didn't do that here this year, but it's a powerful story about Jesus, right after his baptism, going out into the wilderness, and he is tempted by the devil. What's interesting about the story is that it says the Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness to be tempted, almost as if God thought this was an important stage in Jesus' development. And so I think these temptations can be seen as Jesus being tempted to be inauthentic about who he was. Do you remember the three? The first one, the devil shows him rocks. Jesus is really hungry, and the devil says, turn these stones into bread. Just take care of yourself. Don't worry about this ministry to everybody else. So I think that is an example of Jesus being tempted to be a monolith, to just take care of himself, to focus on his individual needs instead of the other needs. And so Jesus says, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that God utters. That was the first temptation. The second temptation is the devil takes Jesus to the highest point of the temple and says, you're the Son of God, throw yourself down, and angels will swoop in and capture you. It'll be a tremendous spectacle. Go ahead and do it. Jesus says you should not put the Lord to the test. I think here he's being tempted to be the jester, to make his life into a spectacle, to be showy and giving the people what they want, and basing his whole ministry on miracles instead of what he's really called to do, which is to share the truth. So he's like a jester. Just give him a show. And the third temptation is the devil shows him the whole world. And he says, you can have all the power of the whole world. You just need to bow down to me. And that's when Jesus says, be gone, Satan. And the idea there is he was being asked to be a Pharisee, somebody whose inner faith was not compatible with his actions. He might feel connected to God, but he wouldn't respond with that by bowing down to Satan. And so I think those are three ways that his authenticity was tempted. Do you see how those are threats? Jesus wrestling with those is how he prepared to be authentic in worship. Do you know the last temptation of Christ? Well, had anybody seen the movie? Yeah, there was a movie back in the late 80s called The Last Temptation of Christ, and it was about Good Friday. And it was this imagining of Jesus on the cross being tempted to come down off the cross, abandon his mission, marry Mary Magdalene, and have a family and live a simple life. That did not happen. But it's a neat thing to think about Jesus on the cross being tempted to abandon his mission. We're not talking about that one. We're talking about the second to last temptation of Christ. And I believe that was Palm Sunday. Here's why. Here's what happened. It's in the Gospel of John. The Gospels tell the story of Palm Sunday a little differently. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all tell it the same. John tells it a little differently. In John, Jesus doesn't go get a donkey and then ride into Jerusalem. Instead, in John, Jesus and his disciples just come into Jerusalem, and people start crowding around. And these are people who saw or heard about Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. And they heard about him being a miracle worker. And when he comes into town, that's when they cut the palm branches. That actually only shows up in John. The palm branches and put them down, and they shout, Hosanna, Hosanna, which means save us. But the saving that they were talking about was different than the saving that Jesus was talking about. They were talking about save us from Rome. They thought Jesus was a king, a mighty king coming in to overthrow the government and to conquer the area and be the king. That's what they were expecting. That's what they were cheering about. That is not who Jesus was. So you remember what he did. Then he goes and gets a donkey. And he comes down through the parade presenting himself as a wise healer, a gentle spirit who's come to bring a revolution of the heart. So in that temptation, he was tempted to be an imposter. The world said, you need to be this mighty king that takes over everything. And he could have been tempted to do that. Well, let's give the people what they want. Let's go ahead and rule like that. But he didn't. He chose to be authentic to himself. So he brings his realness to this entrance into Jerusalem. Remember, we're talking about real life to real love. And this is as real as it gets. Him being authentic to who he was and presenting him real, his real self, even though the people around him didn't understand. This is something for us to wrestle with for ourselves. This is what Lent in part is about. It's us wrestling with, are we living authentic to who we are and who we were created to be? And it's a 6-week journey. Lent is a 6-week journey. Maybe you haven't given Lent one thought up to this point. You got 1 week left. And that's enough time to focus and set aside time to really wrestle with this. How am I inauthentic in my life? How can I line up who I am, my beliefs, my values, my actions, my inner self, my expressed self? That's not an easy task, but it's one that we're called to. How can I be an authentic Christian? I want to suggest that you don't just jump from the Palm Sunday parade to the Easter parade and miss out on all the good stuff in the middle. Because the good stuff is the challenging stuff. This is where Jesus was challenged to really show who he really was. And we're challenged in the same way. Come on up, band. The idea that Jesus presented his authentic self to a world that wasn't ready to receive him is a challenge that we have. Can we be our authentic self even if it goes against the crowd? Even if it causes us to be vulnerable? Even if it asks us to really focus and be self-aware and true to ourselves? For you and I, this may be the best opportunity of the year to do that. In this moment and in this reflection, we can grasp onto our authentic selves and connect with God through Christ in a real, authentic way. Amen.